Thanks for tuning in to Sermoncast, the preaching ministry of Christ Church of Amherst. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting our website at ccnh.org.
Hi, my name is Dale Keen. I'm glad to be back after all these years. So, yeah. I've had a lot going on this month, and my final exam's in Tuesday, so things are finally wrapping up. And as we get into the message today, I'll share a bit about what's been going on in the last month of my life. Thank you for praying for me as I spoke at Q in Boston a week ago Saturday, and I'll say a bit about that as well. You come in this morning, and unless you're somebody that really doesn't like nice days, I mean, it's easy to say to yourself, you know, it's not a bad day to play hooky, you know, and you come in, and it's the end of April, May vacation in New Hampshire, and it's just all sorts of reasons to play hooky, and then you come in, and you hear that the pastor wants to preach on the Apostles' Creed, and that's a yawner, you know, yikes. And I'll be back again in 2 weeks, and then have a run of it, and we'll get back into the Book of Acts week after week after week after week. Today's sermon is on the Apostles' Creed, but it's really personal, and I want to kind of explain why it's personal and why I think it matters, and why this may not be the creed for you, but it's something that I think we have to take seriously. I'm going to read shortly from the book of John 3:16. I mean, it's going to be something we've all heard before. It's going to be a statement by Jesus about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And in a certain sense, the question that we all ask ourselves is, okay, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus day after day? And what does it mean for me to conform my life to the image of Christ as opposed to conforming the image of Christ to my life? And it's one thing to hear some words about what it means, but in the details and the challenges and the, you know, bizarreness of life, you know, what does it mean? When we think of the Lord's Prayer, we think of the Apostles' Creed. We think of something that we often say by rote. But it isn't something, in one sense, to be said by rote. The Latin word for a creed, one of the Latin words would be conversation. And a creed, in a certain sense, is a conversation between you and me and a whole host of Christians that have come before us that have said this creed. The creed was put together, as far as we know, in the 4th century, and it was put together to help Christians try to figure out what is the center of our faith, because there was people that were taking ideas of faith in all sorts of different directions, and the question is, what's the center of it? But in stating the words, it isn't the words that make us orthodox. It's not the words that make us, quote, good. What does it mean? And a creed is us entering into a conversation with other Christians, and a creed is us entering into a conversation with God. Oh God, who are you? Oh God, what are your demands on my life? Oh God, what does it mean to follow you? Oh God, I don't really like what this is saying to me. Oh God. So it's this conversation. And I think it's a conversation that really, really matters, because I have to tell you, and I don't find it easy to live in this world. I don't. I've got a lot of questions. I don't like things that happen. You know, we just had the thing about the persecuted church, and, you know, I'm reading last night about the 500 they were executed in Iraq yesterday who would have been of a Christian. It's just, wow. I don't like this stuff. And then there's more. And, I'm going to say about them. It's going to be a real downer of a sermon, yeah. No, it won't. I mean, no. Yes? You have this intersection of reality and God. So Nicodemus, very smart man, is having this conversation, secret conversation with Jesus. Jesus is trying to tell him what it means to be a follower, in a sense. What is it? Who am I? And Nicodemus isn't getting it. Beginning in verse 10 of chapter 3 of John. Nicodemus, you are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, we testify to what we have seen, but still you do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then are you going to believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Let's say a prayer. God, I pray that you would give us wisdom. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would awaken us this morning. I pray, Father, that you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would help us to jolt us into a conversation, a deep conversation with you. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. As I mentioned when I was here before, many years ago, I spoke at Q Boston a week ago Saturday. It was a seminar on the light topic of gender, identity, sexuality, marriage, all that stuff. And so you can imagine we had a few people show up. And then you can imagine that we had a rigorous conversation. And, you know, what I've discovered in my journey of speaking to these issues for the last 8-9 years is that about 18 months ago, I felt like I'd conquered it. I was really good at it. I was really able to communicate with a wide variety of audiences and all this kind of stuff. People wouldn't shoot each other. Nobody would knife each other. I felt like I'd really gotten somewhere. And then the world changed in the last 18 months. Now I find myself back in this situation of kind of like a deer in the headlights trying to figure out how to navigate this stuff, because now, as I mentioned last time I was here, one part of the conversation of identity is under the transgender issue, which has its own challenges. And the night before I spoke was the night that you had the Diane Sawyer interview with Bruce Jenner. And then, all you know, you've followed the news and you're saying Pastor Dale enough already. But then the marriage discussion was moving beyond issues of same-sex marriage into polygamy. So I'm saying to myself, wow. And it's hard. And I want to help people find a way forward. I feel so helpless. And then there's other stuff that happens. And in our lives, there are those things that are just enormous joys. So an enormous joy for me is the music of Martin Joseph. And I did a sermon about his song, Whoever Brought Me Here Will Have to Bring Me Home, for several months ago, and he's playing at St. Anselm tonight. So that's just like one of the great gifts to me, that I can just go be tonight and just enter into a musician that brings me into the presence of the divine. So that's a great gift. So we have things that bring us close to heaven, and then we have other things that bring us close to hell. And Thursday, I'm going to be in Minnesota, and I'm doing a funeral. Doing a funeral of my childhood friend, John. And it's a life that ended in suicide. And when we hear the word suicide, it evokes many things for each one of us. But it's for this case, it's worse than that. John was somebody who was a closet alcoholic for a long, long time. I married him and his wife. Had no idea that they were both alcoholics. Had no idea that they'd met themselves in AA. Baptized their children. Had no idea that there was any of this going on in their lives. And then one night several years ago, Susan had a heart attack and died. And John was passed out from alcohol. And his 9 and 11-year-old kids had to call 911. And as you can imagine, all of a sudden, things put into motion to take the kids away from John, which ended up happening. The alcoholism continued. The court case went through in terms of neglect, and he was jailed, and he got out of jail just a few weeks ago, and he committed suicide. And we prayed for him. I prayed for him. A whole bunch of people prayed for him. He prayed for himself. And at the funeral, I don't know who's going to even be there. Because his life got smaller and smaller, and people disassociated themselves from him, and it's a sad story. Sad. But I also know he was a person of faith in Jesus Christ. And we ask ourselves the question, how can that be? So hard. And it's in this backdrop, that the creed for me is this conversation with God. And it's a conversation with God that encompasses everything that I've just described. And it's not something that's rote. It's something that is, how can I enter into a deeper walk with Jesus Christ? How can this creed help me to get outside of myself and get into the presence of God? I believe in God. I do. It seems like the craziest things in the world. I wake up some days and say, how can this be? How is it that God would have come as a baby? That just makes no sense. But I believe. But the word believe asks us the question. It says, to believe means to live as if it's true. And what does it mean to live as if it's true? What does it mean to believe? What does it mean to live as if it's true, even when it seems like God isn't around, or he's not there, or the things aren't working out, my prayers aren't being answered the way that I want? I believe. And the creed tells me right off the bat, I have to get out of myself and figure out, what does it mean to live as though this is true? I believe in the Father Almighty. I believe that God is the Father. I believe he's powerful. I believe he can accomplish all things. I don't know why things happen on this earth. I don't know why God doesn't intervene in these things, but I believe he is God, and I believe he's almighty, and I believe he made heaven and earth. We live in a world that believes in this idea of progress. We believe in this idea of evolution. We believe in all of these things. But the giant unanswered question is, where did it all come from? Evolution is a description of how things may have developed, but it doesn't answer the question of, where is it that we came from? How is it that this all started? Science tells us that things will come to an end. Science tells us that the sun will burn out. Probably not in my lifetime, but the sun will burn out. Though the internet did report this week, scientists have been now can conquer aging. so maybe I will be around. Things will come to an end, which seems to imply that things must have started. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I don't know how he did it, but he made heaven and earth. He made heaven, where I believe that John is now. And he made this earth. And he made it, and he said it was good. And because he's the maker of earth, it means that while I'm on this earth, I have a responsibility to steward it. I have a responsibility to do justice. He's the maker of heaven. He's the maker of earth. Earth is not a bad thing. He made heaven and he made earth and he said it was good. And I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that God became man and he came to earth. I can't imagine how God would think of such a thing, but he did. And Jesus came to earth, and one of the most amazing things about Jesus coming to earth is that it's God's way to explain himself to us. The scripture tells us that we come to know God by coming to know Jesus. That without knowing Jesus, we can't understand God. That Jesus came and he explained himself to us. He explained himself to me. I believe in him. And how is it that I can be receptive to what he wants to say to me about God? He's God's only Son. He's our Lord. He's not my equal. He's my Lord and he's my Master. And he can handle my complaints. But at the end of the day, I need to give him, I need to allow him to be Lord. I believe in the conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. I believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary. Again, I don't know what possessed God to think of such a thing, to come to earth in such a vulnerable way, but it tells me that I need to understand what it is that I need to live my life in a vulnerable way. That in this world of pain and suffering and ISIS and alcoholism and all the things around us, rather than circle the wagons and pull into ourselves, we need to be able to live in a vulnerable way. We need to realize that God loved this earth so much that he came, and that we need to love this world as well, and that God loved us so much that he came, and we need to love each other as well, in sickness and in health, and richer or poorer, till death do us part. We need to be people who are committed for the long run, because Jesus was. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. And I don't enjoy watching the Mel Gibson movie on the Passion, but he suffered. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. I believe that we killed God. And I believe that because I see, what I see around us is that humans have a bias toward imperfection and sin. We do not like perfection and righteousness. When we find perfection in righteousness, we try to defile it. When we find perfection in righteousness, we call people goody-two-shoes. We do all sorts of things that it is the case that what we do not, humans have an aversion to the truth. We have an aversion to love. We have an aversion to grace. We killed God because we preferred our own life to this. And he descended into hell. I believe in hell. I think it's, as I've said, I think it's hard to believe in heaven. It's not hard to believe in hell. I think we've spoken of it today. We've seen pictures of it today. There is unspeakable evil that is done on this earth. And I believe on the third day he rose again. And as much as this world drags me down, as much as the stories of the beheadings drag me down and make me say, oh my God, and as much as the pain and suffering of John drags me down, and as much of all sorts of things in this world drags me down, the conversation that I'm having says I need to acknowledge and I need to live that on the third day he rose again from the dead. I need to believe and I need to recognize that there is in this world crucifixion, death, and hell, and I also need to affirm that we live in a world of resurrection. We need to live in a world where no matter what transpires to God's people, that they can be resurrected. I need to live in a world where John can end up in heaven. He had faith in Jesus. I do not know why he lived the way that he lived, and I don't know lots of things about it, but I do believe in resurrection, and I believe that that resurrection occurs because of the grace and love of Jesus Christ, not because of our righteousness. And because of that, I need to live in the hope of the resurrection and not in the despair of hell. And he ascended into heaven. And this baby who was born in straw poverty in the most humble of conditions is now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. This man who came, who died, who sacrificed himself, who went to hell, has now been elevated and is sitting at the right hand. Why do I doubt him? From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I do believe in judgment. I don't know why there wouldn't be judgment. The amazing thing, this conversation that we're having with God, is that when our number comes up and we stand before him, Jesus says, I'll vouch for him. Jesus is vouching for me. So why do I live such a life that's full of myself? Why can't I live a life that honors the man who's going to stand up for me? I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Holy Spirit dwells in us and dwells in our midst, and that God will and can do amazing things within us and through us. And I need to begin to live as that, like it. I tend to live in a kind of defeatist way. I tend to live in kind of a, quote, realistic way. It's probably my way of saying at this time in my life that if I don't get my hopes up, then my hopes are not dashed. If I don't get my hopes up, then I'm not so disappointed. I'm not so hurt. But the reality is that I do believe in the Holy Spirit. And then I need to live as though, because my hopes are up. I need to live as though that it's true. I need to allow the Spirit to live in me and work in me and not be the kind of person that says no, 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 because I don't want to get my hopes up. God can do, will do miracles. I believe in the Holy Christian Church. I have a love-hate relationship with the church, but I do believe that the church is God's mechanism, plan, community to be Jesus in the world till he comes again, and I need to be with the program. I believe in the communion of saints. I believe that every single one of us who are Christians are brothers and sisters all over this world. And that when I come here on a Sunday morning, I need not think about the fact, is there 60 of us, 80 of us, 100 of us? There's billions of us. And we're just one expression. And I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I have a really hard time living that way, but I need to. I believe in the resurrection of the body. I believe we will be resurrected. We will go to heaven and the life everlasting. Each of us has eternity within. Each of us is made in the image of God. There's something about death that makes us feel uncomfortable because we feel as though we couldn't die. And it's true. Now the challenge is, this conversation that we have, what does it mean to live as though it's true? What are ways that I'm not living? What are ways that this conversation helps me both to express my discomfort, express my gripes, but also listen? It's so easy for us to go on autopilot. It's so easy for us to just kind of shut down on a May Day. It's so easy for us to go through the motions. It's so easy for us to say, miracles don't happen. It's so easy for us to say this and this and this. But what does it mean to live as though it's true? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have life eternal. What does it mean to follow? Let's pray. Our God, we're in awe of Jesus. We're in awe of love. We're in awe of you. There's times when we treat you as if you're insignificant. There's other moments we just feel like you're overwhelming. God, continue to speak to us. Continue to help us to have a listening ear. Continue to help us to have conversation, and continue to help us, Lord, to find deeper ways to follow you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in to Sermoncast. We hope you enjoyed this week's message. For more podcasts, you can visit ccnh.org and subscribe to our channel through the Sermoncast link. We'd also invite you to connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christ Church of Amherst. Until next time, God bless.